The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Adapted by Sebastian Bonchkiewicz. Part 4.
The cool winds of September.
You have nearly achieved all you set out to accomplish, Dantes.
Announce a long summer's end.
Know that God smiles upon you.
And with those winds,
as do I,
the culmination, most esteemed and honored friends, of the cataclysm.
Happy for real.
Of the Count of Monte Cristo.
All the pieces are now in place, are they not?
They are.
The voice of his friend and long dead teacher.
Then soon vengeance will be meted out upon Danglars and de Villefort.
It will.
But with vengeance comes responsibility, Dantes. Great responsibility.
Valentine. Valentine. It's me, my love. Maximilian.
While in a shadowed and somewhat overgrown corner of the de Villefort garden...
Are you there? Answer me if you're there.
A young man...
Please.
...whispers disconsolately through the cracks of a paint-peeled wall.
Knock twice on the wall if you can. Answer me. Why don't you answer me?
Can you imagine the unimaginable torment I went through when I heard the news, my dear Count?
And on a quiet street corner in that always fashionable suburb of Auteuil...
Your unimaginable concern is much appreciated, Andrea.
Spilled blood still stains the stone.
Oh, why, one can still see the drops of... Oh.
On the doorstep of the Count's magnificent country house.
You didn't know him, did you, Andrea?
Know him?
This Cadrousse from Marseille.
Whatever are you implicating, my dear Count?
Only he seemed to have a very accurate idea as to which room to break into. It's almost as if he had a plan drawn.
You surely don't imagine that I would
have... Never imagine, Andrea. I ascertain.
And this is this which sets you above all other men, dear Count.
Did you betray me, Andrea?
I did not know this man, Cadaquez.
Cadrousse.
I did not know him, either.
All proceeds well with the wedding preparations, I hope?
Baron Danglars has it all in hand.
And your bride-to-be?
Two lovebirds could not be happier.
Then it's love.
Love is not nearly an appropriate enough word.
I shall see you at the wedding tomorrow, Andrea.
Until then, dear Count.
I wondered if I might speak with you, Father.
While across Paris, most honoured friends, there are only two topics of polite conversation.
Can't wait for this evening, Eugenie. I'm actually very busy.
With what?
The first is the attempted robbery at the home of the now fabled Count of Monte Cristo.
With what, she says? With what?
And the second is the forthcoming wedding between the Count's ward, Andrea Cavalcanti, and the daughter of one of the wealthiest men in Paris.
We're organising this wedding, that's what?
Yes, most honoured friends. Baron Danglars himself.
This wedding's financial benefits are what? What would you say, Father, in your expert opinion?
I beg your pardon, Eugenie.
After all, you are now in a position to speculate on the markets once again, are you not, Father?
Isn't there a dress fitting or something you should be attending?
With the sum of money promised you by the Count of Monte Cristo. Once my wedding to that reptile Andrea has been formalised, of course.
You are not to speak of dear Monsieur Cavalcanti that way.
I assume that you've seen the prison number dear Monsieur Cavalcanti has tattooed on his wrist.
I think you should go to your room and we'll pretend this conversation never took place.
Which is why I was...
Eugenie!
Curious. I was thinking somewhere in the region of 3 to 4 million francs. Am I mistaken?
Eugenie, please, sit down.
Certainly, Father.
All right. Now, I want you to listen to me, sweetheart. All I want, all we want, is for you to be happily settled and comfortable.
Good news, Baron Vonda.
No, not now, Michelle.
But you said I was to let you know the minute our stock valuation rose above 1,000 points.
No, Michelle. What I said was, not now.
Thank you, Father. Most enlightening.
Eugenie!
You must think me very rude to impose upon your hospitality once again, Count.
Not at all, Monsieur Morel. In fact, I was about to instruct my man, Jacopo, to send a message inviting you here.
In regard to?
In regard to the fact that I'm making plans to leave Paris once I have settled certain outstanding issues. May we converse freely? The subject matter is somewhat delicate.
Please.
I have a slave.
Sorry?
In name alone, she is more a companion to me. And I consider her the absolute mistress of my house, Ede.
Why, yes. Ede. She who addresses you.
What of her?
She whose task it is to describe to you, most honored friends, the revelation.
Forgive me my bluntness, but I can think of no man more suitable to court her than you, my dear Monsieur Morel.
Of the Count of Monte Cristo.
Court her?
Obviously, a dowry needs to be negotiated.
You do me too much honour, Count, but I must most politely decline your invitation.
I have distressed you, forgive me.
No, sir, you have not. If I might also speak candidly.
Please.
I am already promised.
May I ask to whom?
To a young lady whose qualities are way beyond my limited powers of description, but a person who is...
There is water at your side.
The reason for my visit today. You see, my dear Count, I have not heard a word from Valentine in over 2 weeks.
Oh.
This is most out of character. Even if there were some alteration in her feelings, for the truth is, I fear that something terrible may have happened.
Can you not approach her parents?
Her father is the Crown Prosecutor of Paris.
A pleasure to see you again, my dear Count.
The pleasure is all mine, I do assure you, Monsieur de Villefort.
Inquiries are still ongoing, of course, into Caderousse and any nefarious accomplices he may have had in tow.
But one might surmise that it was indeed an accomplice who murdered him.
Well, if so, then the accomplice has saved the state some considerable expense. 2 terms in Marseille, 1 in Toulon. This Caderousse is quite the villain.
I'm confident that you and your department are doing all you can to find his murderer.
Monsieur.
And with that, the man who consigned poor Edmond Dantès to 14 years of unspeakable anguish in the infamous Chateau d'If, solely in order to secure his good name and reputation, nods his head respectfully.
No, the reason for my visit today was to invite you and your dear wife to my house.
As befits a renowned and much respected defender of public justice.
Your house?
Accompanied by your children, of course, Edouard, and your daughter, Valentine, is it?
Yeah, that's most kind. Most kind. Unfortunately, though, my daughter is not in the best of health.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Now, if there is nothing else, I would like
your neighbour, Abbé Busoni.
What about him?
I have always found him to be a source of great spiritual comfort, should you require a shoulder upon which to lean.
Why, I shall bear that in mind, Count. Thank you. Now, any progress we make will immediately be communicated to you.
My thanks as always. Oh, there was just one more thing.
Yes.
My house at Auteuil was previously owned by your first wife's parents, was it not, the Saint-Morin?
My late wife spent her childhood there.
And they had a gardener, I believe, fellow by the name of Bertuccio.
Did they?
You didn't know him?
No, no.
Only there are some papers I have found at the house which make some reference to payments due to him. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
I have no recollection of the individual you refer to. Now, if there's nothing else...
Well, good day to you, monsieur.
Good day.
But let us look a little closer and observe the tiniest tremor pulsing suddenly in the Crown Prosecutor's never very ruddy...
Be sure to drink it all up, Valentine.
...cheek.
Oh, Thank you, stepmother, but I think I've had enough.
This elixir can only help you regain your strength.
Then why do I still feel so sick?
You must not distress yourself, my dear. The medicine will take a little while to work, won't it, Edouard?
If you say so, Mama.
I hope you came and said hello to your sister today, young man.
Did you like the picture I drew, Valentine? Oh,
I loved it, Edouard. Thank you.
It's a train, and when you're better, we'll go on one together, won't we?
You can depend upon it.
You're not going to die, are you?
Oh.
Honestly, Edouard, the very idea. You're to go to the nursery this instant.
I shall see you tomorrow, sweetheart.
Bye, Valentine.
Bye-bye.
You must try and get some rest, child. And there is great news.
There is.
Your grandfather has finalized the alterations to his will. You and Edouard are to inherit all the wealth of the Noirtier family. Imagine.
Imagine. Last night, I dreamt my mother called to me from beyond.
Dear God.
And I was too terrified to answer.
Come here, child.
But what do we see twitching there on the never very full or particularly generous lips of Madame Eloise de Villefort?
But will you not be late for the wedding feast?
A smile, perhaps.
Oh, you're much more important than some silly wedding at the Danglars. Now, I'm not going anywhere until I see you finish all your medicine.
The smile of one who perceives her most mendacious scheme to be...
I will finish it, I promise, but please go to the wedding.
All but...
As long as you see that you do.
Accomplished.
You will send my regards to Eugenie.
She was always so very fond of you, my dear.
And who knows?
Perhaps I shall discover you a prospective husband this evening. Now, rest. And remember, every last drop.
Oh, Maximilian. Maximilian.
He sends his fondest greetings to you, mademoiselle.
Who are you?
I am the Count of Monte Cristo. And you must listen to me, Valentine. Listen to me very, very carefully.
My compliments, dear Baron.
My compliments to you, dear boy. Is the Count not with you?
He's on his way, I believe.
The wedding of the year, they're calling it. Imagine, all of Parisian society here, in my house. Amazing.
For Andrea Cavalcanti, thief and murderer, plucked from the back streets of Marseille by a mysterious man representing the person he has come to think of as his guardian angel. Why, yes, most honoured friends, the Count of Monte Cristo himself.
And my angel?
Eugenie is with her maids of honour.
For Andrea...
Well, I'm sure she will enjoy that.
These last few months have passed as if in a wonderful, wonderful dream.
You are, Baron. Oh, good evening, Monsieur Cavalcanti.
Baroness, may I say that you are looking ravishing this evening. Ravishing.
I see you have, as ever, spared no expense.
Oh, you are too kind, madame. Too kind.
Now, I must steal my husband away for just one moment, if you don't mind.
What? I shall await with trepidation your most imminent return.
What is it?
Keep smiling, Danglars, and look only at me as I tell you this. Your daughter has disappeared.
I beg
you. She and that piano teacher of hers.
Millie?
Yes, Millie.
What's she got to do with anything?
Oh, do wake up, Danglars.
And your stepmother brings you this elixir every night?
She says it will improve my health.
It is poison.
Poison? But why would my stepmother wish to harm me?
Can you not think of a reason?
No.
There has been no change of circumstance.
None that I... My grandfather altered his will.
Altered it how?
Dividing his fortune between me and my half-brother, Edouard.
Then there it is.
Count? don't.
I need you to trust me, Valentine. Do you think you can do that?
No, I still don't understand how you managed to get into my bedroom.
How I got in here is of no importance. What is important is that Maximilian Morel loves you and wants only to be with you forever.
Is he well? Did you see him?
No man has greater love for you than he.
Maximilian is more than all the world to me, Count.
I have devised a means by which you and Maximilian may be married. But first you must trust me. Do you trust me?
And now, young Valentine de Villefort stares and stares very deeply into the heartfelt gaze of the Count of Monte Cristo, detecting in those bright blue eyes a soul of such love and exquisite sorrow.
I do.
The course is not without its perils.
If it leads to Max and I being united forever, then...
Take this.
What is it?
It is an opiate.
It
is quite benign, I do assure you, and will furnish you with the most diverting visions until you eventually wake up.
And when will that be?
Soon.
Well? The servants have searched everywhere. There's no sign of her or Millie.
Well, you Shingy can't just have vanished, can she, I mean?
Not only has she vanished, she's also cleared out all her savings and taken both the diamond necklaces we gave her.
Both of them?
She has disgraced us, Dongla. Our little girl disgraced us in front of everyone.
While at that exact moment, a devilishly handsome young man dressed in the very finest style climbs aboard a railway carriage at Saint-Lazare, accompanied by his ravishingly beautiful young bride, who just as soon as the carriage door is shut securely behind her, turns eagerly to kiss him.
Oh, Eugenie, are we really doing this?
We are, Millie. We really are. Do I not look splendid in this suit?
Very handsome.
Tickles a touch. The moustache. But otherwise...
Your parents will be...
Oh, what parents? I have no parents. And from this day on, we shall live as artists. Free to travel where our muse directs us. Always together.
I love you, Eugenie.
I love you too, Millie.
Still, there is no sign of the Count. Perhaps something has happened.
Without a bride, there can be no wedding, Dongla. Count or no Count.
Is everything all right, Baron?
Everything's under control, Andrea. Quite under control.
Madame et Monsieur, the Count of Monte Cristo.
About bloody time, too.
Well, don't just stand there, husband. Go and greet him.
My dear Count.
Baron Dongla.
Is something wrong?
I'm afraid so, yes.
Is it Eugenie?
Eugenie?
She has disappeared, you see.
That may be for the best.
I don't understand.
Officers!
What is the meaning of this?
These officers are here to arrest a felon.
With guns?
If need be.
At a wedding?
There will be no wedding today.
No wed... What?
And immediately the Count opens a small valise and drops a blood-stained waistcoat onto that polished ballroom floor.
This is the waistcoat of the murdered thief Caderousse. And this is a note he had secreted in a pocket.
A note?
Written in his own hand. As you can see, Baron Dongla, it is addressed to you.
To me?
Read. Baron?
Sir, the man you know as Andrea Cavalcanti and your daughter's intended husband is a convict. And thief. There must be some mistake.
I have been as deceived by him as all of you. Read on.
He escaped with me from the prison at Toulon. He was known in Marseille as Benedetto Benedetti. But he doesn't know his real name as he never knew his parents. He is a villain. Caderousse.
Have you something to say, Andrea Cavalcanti?
You bloody set me up, didn't you, Monte Cristo?
Officer, seize that man!
It's taken away!
This is a set-up! A bloody set-up!
Cavalcanti, A murderer? How can this be happening?
Well, it would seem as if your discovery of that incriminating note was most timely, Count. Some wine?
Nothing, thank you. Indeed, Monsieur de Villefort.
And now the villain Benedetto Benedetti can be tried for the murder of Caderousse, and justice, French justice, can be seen to be done at last. Santé.
God's justice, too.
I assume I shall see you at the trial.
You may depend upon it.
Come.
Sir.
What is it, Leon?
You're required at home urgently, sir. Your daughter...
Has something happened to Valentine?
It might be best if you... Oh,
for goodness sake, man.
She's dead, sir.
If you will be so good as to excuse me, Count.
My sincere condolences.
The thief and murderer we know as Andrea Cavalcanti...
That you, Benedetto Benedetti?
...sits on a scrap of dirty hay in a dungeon below the courthouse.
Who wants to know?
Our time together is short, so listen.
You again.
But have we not met this man before, most honoured friends?
You get away from me, you hear?
Have we not seen him chase this same Benedetto down a dirty alleyway in Marseille?
Stop play-acting and get your sorry ass back where I can see you.
Who are you to give me orders?
I'm here on behalf of your guardian angel.
Take it up, my guardian angel, you mean my good friend and benefactor, the Count of Monte Cristo. The man I have to thank for dumping me in this shitty cell. My guardian angel, he turned
Do I have your full attention?
What do you want?
To change your life.
This is a trick. This is another of his tricks.
You listening?
Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
Then I'll begin.
Forgive me, Abbé Busoni, for coming here at this late hour.
My door is always open to you, Monsieur de Villefort.
Why, yes, most honoured friends. Do we not recognise in the grizzled face and twinkling eye of Abbé Busoni the features...
My daughter is...
...of another?
I know. Your servant told me, and I am desolated by your loss.
Valentine, my daughter... Been ill for some time.
Ill with what?
Well, nobody could say. But the symptoms came upon her very suddenly.
Then you were not prepared for her decline.
It's as if she was struck down.
In my limited experience, a young person is very rarely struck down inexplicably.
What?
Perhaps you would permit me to examine your late daughter's room.
Examine her room?
I was presumptuous, forgive me.
No, if you think it would do some good...
I think it might put your mind at ease to know what it was that so afflicted her. If you would please follow me.
Where are you going, Father?
Through this wall, apparently.
A secret door.
Shall we?
I'm sorry. Monsieur...
Jacobo.
Monsieur Jacopo, I'm not sure I quite understand you.
Perhaps I didn't say it plainly enough. The Count of Monte Cristo wishes to withdraw his credit of 6 million francs from the Bank of Danglars. Effective immediately.
Well, that's impossible. Quite impossible. I may as well be writing my own note of bankruptcy.
Without wishing to be in any way indelicate, Baron... Another scandal, financial or otherwise, would, I'm sure, be most unwelcome.
I assume begging will do me no good?
None whatsoever.
Nothing has been disturbed? And...
To the best of my knowledge, no.
Whose is this cup on the floor, Monsieur de Villefort?
It's my daughter's.
Well, that's odd.
Odd?
this solution here?
My wife was preparing medicine for her.
Is your wife skilled in preparing medicines?
She has a small parlor that she goes to.
I see. Perhaps you would be good enough to show me this room of hers.
Only if you would be good enough to share your suspicions with me, Abbey.
At first glance, the solution contained within this cup suggests that it is more of a poison than a medicine.
You're jesting.
Benedetto, Benedetti!
No, sir. I assure you, I am not now the room.
Oh, a very good morning to you, jailer.
Is it? Yeah.
Oh, bread and water. How very fitting.
Fitting for what?
Well, for a communion, of course. That's nothing short of a miracle. Dirty water into wine.
What? You're going to be coming to take you to trial in half an hour. And you'll hang, boy. Hang.
And I shall await them with keen anticipation.
Good morning, Eloise.
Charlotte! What on earth are you doing, sitting in the dark?
Quite the laboratory you have in here.
Sorry?
Did you truly believe that you could systematically poison my daughter and that I would not find out?
Have you taken leave of your senses?
This cup?
Yes?
This is Valentine's cup, is it not?
I don't think I want to continue this conversation.
You will stay exactly where you are.
Now, I have had this cup's contents examined by one skilled in chemistry.
Might I inquire as to who this gentleman may be?
You may not, no. Now you can continue to uphold this ridiculous charade, or you can save us both a lot of time and trouble and tell me the truth, because one way or another, I will have...
Oh, Cheryl, please!
I assume it was all about Edouard inheriting my father's money, was it not?
Edouard is our boy, Gerard, our wonderful boy.
Armed men wait outside and guard the gates.
Armed?
And they will ensure that you remain here under house arrest.
I want to see a lawyer. I demand a lawyer.
Tonight, as soon as I return from the courts, I will have you clapped in irons and tried for Valentine's murder. You may have your lawyer then.
No, don't do this, Gerald.
My only regret is that the law forbids me trying you myself. But rest assured, Eloise, you will be executed before even half the autumn leaves have fallen from the trees.
No, this is all a terrible, terrible mistake.
Until this evening... Madame.
Gerard.
Count.
Gerard!
Baroness Dongler, a pleasure, as always.
All of Paris, it seems, struggles to gain admittance to what the daily newspapers describe as the trial of the decade.
I assume you have not seen my husband?
I? No. You seem distressed, madame.
As you might be, Count, if you awoke, as I did this morning, to find yourself husbandless, daughterless, and penniless.
The trial of the villain Benedetto Benedetti, known in all the fashionable salons across the capital as one Andrea Cavalcanti.
Penniless?
Danglars has ransacked my personal accounts, stolen all my jewellery, even taken my wedding ring. And now he leaves me to face the dishonour of his bankruptcy and this trial alone. There are even death threats.
You have my sympathies, madame, but I still do not understand how such...
Because your dear friend Baron Danglars is a spineless, greedy little criminal with the conscience of a reservoir rat.
Ah,
is that your last word on the matter?
I do not know what else you would have me say.
I would have you reach out to me.
Order! Order!
And now, Andrea Cavalcanti is led into the dock.
Perhaps we should continue this conversation after the trial.
His face, a radiant sun of smiles, as he waves to all his former friends, who are eagerly gathered to witness what surely has to be the final act of his disgrace and ruin.
Will the prisoner please identify himself?
Oh, the prisoner would be only too pleased to do so, if the prisoner had the first idea as to who he actually was.
Excuse me.
In fact, I was hoping you might be able to give me some pointers in that regard, Monsieur de Villefort.
Young man, if you do not wish to be held in contempt of this court, I would advise you to attend to these murder proceedings with the seriousness they deserve.
Ooh la la. Get him.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, you will do, that's for sure. Now, in order that we finally sort out this name business once and for all, I call one Monsieur Bertuccio to the stand.
Marseille?
Yes, Monsieur Morel, Marseille. The Count asks only that you trust him.
My Valentine is dead. The Count and I have no further business.
And the Count mourns your loss, but requests that you join him in a month from now. October 5th, in fact.
May I ask who it is that I am speaking to?
My name is Aide.
Am I not lovely? Most honored friends.
The Count's companion.
His most devoted friend and servant.
Yeah, he said you were his slave.
It is important that you do as the Count politely requests. He suggested you rendezvous with him outside your father's old office. The Count was confident you would remember exactly where that was.
And the purpose of this rendezvous?
Please state your name for the court, please.
Must wait until then.
My name is Bertuccio.
And who do you work for, Bertuccio?
And now at last, most honored friends, we have a name for the man we last saw with Andrea in his prison cell.
I work for the Count of Monte Cristo.
And before that?
Before that, I worked as a gardener for the Samaran in Otoy.
And the Samaran were?
The parents of Crown Prosecutor Gerard Villefort's first wife, Renée.
Thank you. Now, may I take you back 20 years to the night of August the 3rd, 1820.
What has any of this to do with the charges the defendant currently faces?
Begging the court's indulgence, I only ask for patience, and all will become clear.
Well, I sincerely hope so, for your sake, young man.
Then, may I proceed?
You may, but be advised. I insist that you respect the formalities of this court. Now, proceed.
But what do we see in the eyes of Gerard de Villefort?
Monsieur Bertuccio.
As he looks upon the gardener Bertuccio.
What can you tell me about that night?
A man he hoped never to see again.
I can remember that a baby was born that night.
Why, yes, most honored friends.
A baby that his father tried to bury beneath a tree.
Fear.
Baroness?
That man there, Count. That Bertuccio. He says he works for you.
That is correct.
In what capacity?
As my servant.
But what has he to do with Andrea?
What indeed?
And now the Count's eyes shine. With what? With victory. As Bertuccio...
And what did you do for that baby, Bertuccio?
Tells everything.
I dug him up and saved him. Sent him to live with my sister, Danielle.
And the father of the child?
When he saw what I had done, he gave me money to give to my sister for its upkeep.
And was there a condition?
There was. That I never divulge the baby's true identity to anyone.
And is the father of that unfortunate infant present in this court today?
He is, sir.
I'll point him out, please.
But this farce has gone on for long enough.
It is Monsieur de Villefort himself. It is Monsieur de Villefort that attempted to bury a baby alive, sir.
The court is adjourned. I said the court is adjourned!
But the mob pays no attention to him who was once the most feared of all Crown prosecutors as he numbly raises his gavel up and down like a now stringless...
And is that unfortunate child present in this courtroom today?
Worthless.
Did you not hear me?
Marionette.
The bastard child is here, sir, as is his mother.
Be good enough to identify the mother.
She sits beside the Count of Monte Cristo. What? Ermine Dongla.
No! No! No!
Clear. Clear the court.
Now, be good enough to identify that bastard son.
Why, he is you yourself, sir. You are the child of Ermine Dongla and Gerard de Villefort.
Are you suggesting to this corner yesterday this woman all but married her illegitimate son to her legitimate daughter?
I am, sir.
We need not dwell on facts we already know.
There will be order. I said order! Please!
The mysterious disappearance of Andrea Cavalcanti.
Well, that all went exactly to your plan, didn't it, Bertuccio? Very nice and smooth. I like smooth.
Wait.
The V4's face when he heard our news. Priceless. Is this about the Count's furnace for my escape?
You have much to answer for, Andrea.
Excuse me? Ow! Take your hands from off me! Ow!
Now, I want you to be in no doubt, Benedetto. This is not revenge for that scumbag cat.
Bruce. Who are you?
This is for sending my sister to an early grave. She, who never gave you anything but a mother's love. My poor Tanya.
What are you doing? Untie my hands, please. No. No, I'll beg.
No need we dwell upon the scandal now heaped upon the disgraced house of Dongla. But where, you ask, is the Count?
Monsieur de Villefort.
Why, he is now a shadow among shadows in that always somewhat gloomy house on the Champs-Élysées.
Who's that there?
Witnessing at first hand
Abbé Busoni.
The cataclysm he has engineered.
Does one only ever find you in the presence of death?
I came to say a prayer for Valentine.
Well, then pray for me too. Pray for us all.
Pray for? Where are the servants?
Gone. Fled.
You were alone?
Apparently so.
I heard about today's events. The court. If there's anything you want...
Do you like chocolates, Abby? Edouard. Like chocolates? Shall I see if I can find you one?
Thank you, but that is not the reason for my...
Ah, you're here to say prayers for my daughter, yeah?
And to tell you that your debt to me is now paid in full.
My debt to you?
To Edmond Dantès.
To...
A falsely denounced sailor you consigned to 14 years of hell in the Chateau d'If.
What on earth are you doing?
Showing you who I am.
Count. What is... Explain yourself, sir.
My name is Edmond Dantès.
Edmond?
The man whose life you destroyed with no more thought than you'd give to swatting dead a fly.
Dantès. Dantès, what's it? The sailor with the letter.
The letter addressed to your father, the Bonapartist General Noitier. The letter which, had it reached its destination, would have finished your career forever. The letter you burned as you burned me with your false reassurances.
But that was 25 years ago.
Yesterday.
And you have waited all this time to...
I have waited to destroy you as you destroyed me, utterly and completely.
Then you have accomplished all you set out to do, Dantès. And more. So much more.
More?
Come. Into my son's nursery, please.
What?
Surely you don't hesitate.
Well, has something...
The door, sir.
Oh, no. No.
I trust that you're pleased with your handiwork.
I had no hand.
But you gave my wife detailed instructions in the preparations of poisons, did you not? Doubtless, that was part of your revenge, was it not?
But I did not envisage...
That she would poison Edouard and then take her own life. No. Quite a picture, isn't it? Mother and son, clasped tenderly together. You see, I did exactly as you told me, Count. I confronted Eloise. I told her she would hang for murdering Valentine. And look, she has saved us both the trouble.
There may be something I can do for the boy.
Is it? Keep away from my son!
My son!
God forgive me.
Now, if there is no further business between us, I'd like some time alone with my family. My family.
I really haven't the time today. Thank you, Monsieur Jacopo.
I am here on the Count's business, Baroness Danglars.
I no longer recognize that name. And I think the Count has done me enough harm for one lifetime, don't you?
He instructed me to give you this.
No, thank you.
It's a first-class ticket to America.
This, the Count exiling me to America?
He does not consider it so. There is this, too.
A bag of diamonds?
And rubies. And emeralds. Please. Take the ticket, madame. With the Count's compliments.
Come over here, Edouard.
Yes, Mama?
There's something I need you to drink.
What is it?
Oh, don't go to her, boy. Stay here with me.
Let's. Like Valentine's.
Get away from her. Don't interfere, don't. She will kill the boy. Happy for it. She will kill the boy if he drinks.
Take the cup in your hands, Edouard.
I said there would be responsibilities.
Drink.
Did I not?
It tastes funny, Mama.
Oh, no. No, Edouard. No.
Master. Master.
We have to save the boy, Eddie. We have to save...
You were screaming in your sleep.
And you came to me.
As I will always come to you. Always.
No, from this moment on, you have no further obligation to me, dear Eddie. I release you.
And if I do not wish to be released?
Not wish to be.
I earn only for your comfort, Master.
But I am so old, so beyond redemption.
Then you do not love me. Say so and I will leave.
Oh, Heyday, Heyday, I have done the most terrible thing.
You are too harsh. People will speak in awe of what you have accomplished, my Master.
What news of De Villefort?
He is insane.
I want him well looked after. The finest doctors
have already been found.
Then only Danglars remains.
And remember what we said about clothes last time?
You first, Signor Franco.
Danglars has been observed.
Rome is unseasonably warm for October.
Just you wait till I get my hands on you, you little minx. Now then, Sylvia, look what Daddy's brought, huh? Oh.
Good evening, Signor Franco.
Count.
I had forgotten the many distractions a disgraced banker in disguise can find in Rome. Thank you, Sylvia. A job well done.
Count.
You know her?
Please send Jacopo and Petruccio up as you leave.
Immediately.
Jacopo and...
Take a seat.
At least let me put some clothes on.
I said sit. You were always a crafty one, Danglars. Even in Marseille.
Marseille? What are you talking about, Marseille?
Ask anyone who served on the Pharaon. They'll tell you.
You were on the Pharaon?
I never understood what it was old Monsieur Morel saw in you. Can't have been the honest face, can it, Danglars?
Who are you?
Why, I am the man who has destroyed you, as you destroyed me.
You are... You're the Count of Monte Cristo. You cannot be destroyed.
But before that, I was just a man. Barely a boy, in fact. A boy you betrayed.
A boy I... What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the first mate of the Pharaon.
Dantes. Edmond Dantes.
At your service.
It was Fernand. Fernand who denounced you, not me. I liked you. always did.
You liked me enough to have me arrested and thrown into the bowels of the Chateau d'If just so that you could take my position as captain.
No.
Fourteen years, Danglars. 14 years without warmth or food or daylight. 14 years of degradation and heartbreak. And for what?
Dear God, man, have mercy. Have mercy.
Come.
What?
You sent for his count.
Permit me to introduce my longtime associates and friends, Monsieur Bertuccio and Jacopo, who, of course, you know.
Not much of a man without his breeches, is he, Maltese?
What do you want?
Why, that which is most precious to you, your money.
I have no money.
You left Paris with over 1,000,000 francs in cash and jewels. Now, where is it? Please, do not make me ask you again.
Buried.
Buried where?
Don't do this, please.
Did you not hear my friend's question? Buried where?
Just let me get some clothes on and we can
you
go
You shall go as you are.
A traveller, straying aimlessly across an old, all but forgotten orchard on the outskirts of Rome tonight, would witness a most unusual spectacle.
Dig, Danglars.
Even for Rome.
I'll be sure you don't waste our time.
It's here.
A man, nondescript, but for his nakedness, digging. Desperately digging as the sun rises slowly over these gnarled and ancient trees.
It's all there. This is a saddlebag. All of it.
Want me to check, Maltese?
I shall take Baron Danglars at his word. The horses, Petuccio.
I suppose you're going to kill me now.
Fortunately for you, I've resolved never to kill again. Give him a sheet. We shall not meet again.
And as the Count and his companions ride away into the sunrise, the man we know as Baron Danglars sinks to his knees and crawls toward an all but forgotten well, where he pauses before he drinks, wondering as to what it is that is different about the face he sees rippling there.
Think, Danglars. Think.
And then, with the first fingers of dawn, he realizes...
My hair!
...that his once dense head of black, black hair has turned completely white overnight.
Madame de Morcerf, is it you?
Count?
Forgive me, I did not expect to meet.
What brings you to Marseille?
To say a final goodbye. I leave France tomorrow.
For where?
The open sea.
With no destination.
Do you walk here every day?
Is that a question, or is it that you already know?
It is most fortunate that we meet today, madame.
Is it?
As I have something here.
The glass rose.
Thank you for returning it to me.
I thought it only right to return it to him who first gave it me.
I am sure that he would be happier if you were to accept it back.
The man who gave me that once precious rose is long dead.
And forgotten?
Him I will never forget.
Does this gentleman have a name?
Yes. Edmund, he does.
You are mistaken, madame. I am the Count of Monte Cristo.
And has the Count of Monte Cristo achieved all he set to achieve?
He has.
Then what punishment can I expect to enjoy?
Punishment?
That is what you do, is it not? Mete out punishment? And I am easily the guiltiest.
You are guilty of nothing.
I waited for you, Edmund. I stood here, on this very dock, waiting, praying, to see you come whistling around that corner. For over 2 years, I petitioned Prosecutor de Villefort for some news of your fate, but there was never any reply. And in the end, I had to accept that my darling Edmund was gone, and gone for good.
Please, Mercedes.
I never loved him, Fernand. God forgive me, but I never did. But he was so insistent.
We need not speak of
it. So persistent to have what he wanted. Then suddenly you are in Paris. And I see at once the suffering that time has scrawled upon that once beautiful face of yours. And I want only to go to you, to kiss you, hold you. But you are changed. So very changed.
Don't, Mercedes.
I feel an emotion I never thought your presence could provoke in me.
And that is?
Dread, Edmund. Pure and unadulterated.
I suffered much as a consequence of your husband's betrayal.
Then we are at least companions in that.
What shall we do with the rose, Mercedes?
Let us give it to the sea.
If that is what you want.
I want only to live in peace. Shall we?
Where will you go now?
There is a convent in the mountains. The sisters have kindly offered to accept me.
Oh.
Oh, be glad. I have found some tranquility there.
Then you have been blessed.
Go well, Edmund. My one, my only love. Pray for me.
And now the Count sits at that quayside.
Mercedes.
And as the hours pass, and the sun rises inexorably towards its zenith.
Count?
Monsieur Morel.
I was told to meet you at my father's offices, October the 5th.
Indeed you were. My yacht awaits.
Forgive me, monsieur, but I have had enough of this trailing after
you. It'll be worth your while, sir. I do assure you.
For 3 hours, most honored friends, we sail southwest out of Marseille, past the stark white walls of the Chateau d'If, and out toward the line of the furthest horizon.
Land ahoy!
And at the helm...
Drop anchor on my signal, Jacopo!
The Count.
Right you are, Maltese.
Now! Maximilian!
Where are we?
The Isle of Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo?
My servants will see you are well looked after.
And you?
I and the rest of my crew will be sailing on. There is, of course, a boat moored to take you safely back to France.
But what am I doing here?
For that, you must disembark.
Maximilian!
Valentine!
Go to her.
But how can this be?
Go to her!
Valentine! Valentine!
Oh, my love! My love!
They said you were dead. Everybody said you were dead. And who is that waving at us?
Why, that is my grandfather.
General Noirtier is here.
He is. And will live with us until the end of his days. Is that not wonderful news?
Oh. And now that we have at last understood the wrath and revelation of the Count...
It is all wonderful. All of it.
You may ask me, most honored friends,
if you will ever be blessed enough to encounter the Count again. And I, Ede, beloved daughter of the Sultan Ali Pasha, loyal and loving companion to the Count of Monte Cristo, can only say that you must wait, my friends.
Set course south by southwest.
Aye, aye, Maltese.
Wait.
Do we not have a good wind for a sail?
We do, Maltese. We do.
And hope.
In The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, adapted by Sebastian Bonchkiewicz, the Count is played by Ian Glenn, Ede by Jane Lapoterre, the younger Ede by Amber Rose Reva, and Abbe Faria by Richard Johnson. Baron Danglars is Toby Jones, Hermine Danglars, Stephanie Racine, Eugenie, Eleanor Crooks, and Mercedes, Josette Simon. Gérard de Villefort is played by Paul Rees. Héloïse de Villefort by Kate Fleetwood. Valentine by Lizzie Watts. And Edouard by Finn Monteith. Max Morel is Adam Nagaitis. Andrea Cavalcanti, Will Howard. Bertuccio, Paul Stonehouse. Jacopo, Joe Sims. And Millie, Sarah Tom. The music is by David Tobin and Jeff Megan. And the directors are Jeremy Mortimer and Sasha Yevtushenko.